Hey, Arizona, Guy Pitti here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now,
broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It is Saturday. It is 5, and that means On the Menu Live. And listen up, we are having some big fun on the bayou because when we're thinking about great Creole cuisine, when we're thinking about great kind of Southeast-inspired cocktails, when we're thinking about the culture of the Creole community, we are thinking about broadcasting live right here, right now, from Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails in St. Phillips Plaza. We are broadcasting live deep in the heart of another happy hour. We have all kinds of great discounts across the menu. Come on in here. The party is just getting underway. Happy hour goes all the way up until 6 o'clock, but that's really when the sun goes down. Things really start heating up at Sazerac. We're broadcasting al fresco. As a matter of fact, here at Sazerac, we have the fire pit going on right on the patio. Come on out here and help us enjoy some great Creole cuisine and cocktails on this live broadcast from On the Menu Live. Now here she is representing and sitting in the coveted celebrity co-host seat, a woman who is, we've been a fan of hers for a long, long time. She is a lifestyle publicist with Storyteller Public Relations and the founder and executive producer of the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. Put your hands together for Laura Reese, everybody. Laura, how you doing?
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Nice to see you back here.
Thanks so much for having me back.
I mean, check it out. Here we are. The fire is going. I was just delivered my first Sazerac passed by the very lovely, gifted, and credentialed hands of Tiffany Eldridge. I will raise this glass and have my first sip of a Sazerac while you tell us what you've been up to lately.
That looks absolutely delicious, by the way. So excited to give that a try at some point. But yeah, gosh, I think right now, I've been up to just all things beer crawl. It's less than a month away now.
Can't believe that.
Third annual. We sell out every year and we're looking forward to this year too. We've got a bunch of new brewers on board, including some of Tucson's newest brewers, which is pretty exciting. We've got Greenfeet on board, Tombstone, Dillinger, Crooked Tooth is going to be both a stop on the crawl and a brewer that's going to be pouring. So pretty exciting stuff.
I love that. Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. Now, of course, you know me. I'm a big craft beer guy. I love spectacular suds. And you had this great idea. Has it been 3 years ago, did you say?
Yeah.
3 years ago, where you don't just corral everybody in one spot and walk around and drink beer booth to booth to booth. You actually give people the chance to walk around all the downtown area, all around 6th Street and all, and really get a chance to visit these great venues with a wristband and a tasting glass. You're on your way.
Yeah, it's a really cool event that explores the space, if you will, of downtown. And it's a cool place to enjoy craft beer in the venues, the unique Tucson-owned venues that are supporting craft beer. So, yeah, you kind of got it started there. You get your wristband. With your wristband, you get your 5-ounce sample glass and your drink tickets. And then you get to hop around, crawl from venue to venue.
Now, you can hop or crawl.
You can hop or crawl.
I started
walk,
hop
run,
at the beginning,
yeah,
crawl towards the end.
Right. Get there any way you want to. In the heart of downtown, we've got Hotel Congress, Playground, Thunder Canyon, Pueblo Vita. You can kind of bounce around there. Then maybe you meander your way to 6th Avenue where Tap and Bottle and Borderlands are. This year, they're going to be hosting a beer garden in between their two spots on 7th Street, which is going to be a blast of music, cornhole games. It'll be a lot of fun there. And then you can mosey on over to 4th Avenue. We've got Crooked Tooth and Hermanos and Public also being participating venues this year. We've got 30 brewers total participating.
30?
Yeah, 30, okay. 30 brewers this year.
A big bump from last year.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want, Laura Reese.
Exactly.
This is a thirsty community.
More beer, screams Tucson. So, and it's always fun, too, because it's the end cap event for Beer Week in Tucson. So a lot of the brewers are bringing out a bunch of specialty, unique brews that they only brew for Beer Week. So a lot of collaborative brews we see during this event, a lot of special one-off brews that they like to bring. So you can taste your favorites, and then you also get to taste some brews from these brewers that you might not always get to taste.
And this is happening, again, on February the 18th.
Yes.
Right? And what's the best – and what time of day? It starts at about –
The VIP starts at noon, mm-hmm. And then general admission starts at 1.
1 o'clock and goes all the way up to, I think, about 4.
About 5.
Until 5 o'clock.
Yeah, till
5. Okay, great. So I got some beer drinking to do before I do my live broadcast that day. Actually, from the Tap and Bottle. We're doing our show at Tap and Bottle.
Oh, perfect.
So this is great.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned VIP. Okay, so the event starts at 1 o'clock for everybody else, but you'll have the opportunity to be a very important person in the eyes of Laura Reese,
yes.
and the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl Committee. What does it mean to be a VIP? How can I be a VIP for that event?
Matt, you'll always be a VIP
God
to
love
me.
You. Absolutely.
But to have a VIP ticket for the beer crawl, you get in an hour early, so you get an extra 60 minutes of tasting. You get to check out everything that you want to check out before the masses get there. And then also you get a food voucher. There's a couple of venues, including Hotel Congress, Air Monas, and Playground, that will have special food plates that they'll be selling that day. And this voucher will get you one of those food plates.
I love it.
And then also this year, super excited, we are going to have a secret VIP bar where we will be serving craft beer cocktails as well as some small bites. So at that place, it'll only be for the VIP ticket holders, and you'll get some specialty craft beer cocktails.
I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Going to be amazing.
I think it's brilliant. Okay, so it's all again February the 18th. How can people get tickets? And I understand that you've got kind of a cool offer for our listeners now.
I do.
To save them a few bucks.
I do. So you can go to TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com. There you can buy your tickets. You can take a look at the brewers that are participating, get all your information there. And for On the Menu Live listeners right now, we have a special code. If during your checkout, when you buy your tickets, when it prompts you to put in the discount code, put On the Menu Live, all one word, no spaces, and we will pay for your taxes on the ticket.
Okay. That's a savings that all of our listeners are going to want to get a hold of. Again, go to TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com.
Yes.
Buy your tickets, and then on the checkout, there's a little promo code box. You want to write in On the Menu Live, and then let the savings commence.
Yes, exactly.
That's the way it works. So now, is there a strategy? I can understand that hour before for the VIPs. You
mm-hmm.
have 1 hour where you get the whole place to yourself.
Exactly.
I'm going to try to get to every venue in that first hour. Is that possible?
You'd have to be pretty speedy. I don't know if that's actually possible, but at least you can hit up your priority brewers. We'll have a map, too, that'll let you know what brewers are going to be pouring out of which venues. So if you know you want to hit Dragoon, if you know you want to hit Hilton, like, you can definitely check out those spots first.
And I think that speaks to the strategy, because you can really make it your own. So
uh-huh.
it's not like this, you know, corralling everybody and they're all moving en masse to every single venue in order. You kind of get a bird's eye view of the whole topography of the day.
Right.
You decide which ones you want to get to right away, when you kind of want to break for a bite to eat, and then how to resume the crawl. You make it your own. There probably isn't, every crawl is completely different, right?
Totally. And it's actually really fun during the event, because you see people as you're bouncing from place to place. You see other groups of people with their glasses on, I mean, with their sample glasses in hand, with their wristbands on, and it's kind of like this cool camaraderie community thing to see everyone checking out craft beer downtown.
I love it. We're talking to Laura Reese from Storyteller Public Relations. She is the founder and the executive producer of the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl, happening on February the 18th. You need to go to TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com and to buy your tickets. Now, you know what? This event sells out every single year. I have seen Laura Reese have to say no to very thirsty people. That's not pretty. Get your tickets now, right, Laura?
Yes, definitely. We sell out every year. The last 2 years, we've increased the number of tickets. This year, we haven't really increased the number of tickets from last year, and we sold out yesterday. We sold out last year 2 days before the event even happened. So definitely get your tickets now.
Okay, get your tickets now. You heard it here. We are broadcasting live from Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails in St. Phillips Plaza. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to one of the great chefs of the Southwest, Romero Scavo, who's partnering up with our friend Travis Peters from Parrish on a Louisiana back alley barbecue just around the corner. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here. And I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. Voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of another happy hour here at Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails in St. Philip's Plaza. Having a great time with a beautifully made Sazerac. And also my celebrity co-host Laura Reese having a great time here. Kind of getting our bayou on here, right?
I love it. I love it. And it's perfect weather to be out here on this patio with the fire. I love it.
I tell you what, there's another event that's coming up just around the corner. Keeping in our Louisiana theme, our good friend Ramiro Scavo of Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room and Pasco Kitchen in Agate Square. He and his buddy Travis Peters from the parish are putting their heads together, or putting their hogs together, and really kicking out an amazing Louisiana back alley barbecue. And Romero Scavo's with us on the phone. Miro, what's going on, brother?
Hello. What's happening over there? How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. I got a Sazerac in one hand, I got a Red Solo cup in the other, and we're talking cocktails, man. It's a lot of fun over here.
Nice.
So I tell you what, man, keeping in our Louisiana theme, you and our good friend Travis Peters up at the parish, you guys got something planned on February the 4th out at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room in Main Gate Square. Something about a back alley barbecue Louisiana style. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to have whole pig, whole gator, gator gumbo, all the fixings.
What?
It's going to be great. Oh, yeah.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Okay, so you don't just say gator gumbo and then move on, Ramiro. you're actually grilling or smoking or doing real alligator there at this thing?
Yes, we're going to be roasting and smoking alligator, making cool skewers from them. We're going to have cast iron type of frying going on. And then along with the great gator gumbo by Travis.
Okay, so the gator is going to be on full parade. Now, are you guys going to have gators marching down Main Gate Square, taking their last step towards the gumbo pot?
Are you procuring a whole gator?
Yes, we are. We are. Most of the meat is in the back straps, like any other animal, and mostly the tails. So the rest of it's going to be more show, and all the usable meat and bones are going to go to the gumbo.
Oh, I'm so about this.
Seriously. Now, for someone that's never had the chance to have a little gator, Ramiro, what talk a little bit about the taste of alligator. I mean, is there a lot of game in this animal? Talk a little bit about what that experience is like.
It's like the big brother of frog legs. If you ever had frog legs,
okay.
Very, very similar, just a little bigger, and depending on how it's prepared, could be like big succulent chunks that just superly surprise you when you eat them, are great essence from stock and broth and things like that.
Just sounds absolutely gorgeous. So this is all happening on February 4th at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room. Now, there's going to be a lot of people coming out for this event. Are you guys going to kind of spill out onto the patio there, Ramiro?
Yeah, we're going to spill out onto the patio, and we're calling it the back alley because we're going to set up back in the back alley, and we're going to have a great bike show by Indian Motorcycle Shops, 1912, and Dragoon will be there pouring beer.
Yes.
We'll have some great pits going, an old-school cinder block pit that we love to make. We're just going to have a great, great time.
Just a whole parade of pits, Laura Reese, that these guys are
doing
there. I
love how visual. This is not just sitting at a table and getting a couple of dishes sent to the table. This is a visual, all senses involved in experience.
Yeah.
How fun.
I can already begin to smell it. So you got some great beer. You're really showcasing some of these local brewers. What is it, Ramiro Scavo, that you love? You know, here we are at Sazerac. We're going to be talking to Chef Robert Iacorino here in a little bit, who actually hails from the Big Easy. But what is it about Louisiana barbecue that got you and Travis Peters all excited about putting this kind of an event together?
Oh, it's old school. It's something that's been done for years and years and years and years. And it's something that the town's getting excited about, not only here in Arizona, but across the country. And when we were deciding what to do, it came easy with Travis's style of food and his energy and character. He was definitely someone we wanted to team up with.
Yeah, I mean, I love each of you, you know, independently with your own kind of, you know, just incredible styles. But I can only imagine what it's going to be like when you guys put your heads together and really host this great party. Again, it's this back alley barbecue, Louisiana style. It's happening on February the 4th out at Red's Smokehouse and Taproom in Main Gate Square. What time does the party get started, Romero?
4:30. 4:30, and we're going to be moving all night.
And is it a ticket? Like, do you pay a ticket to get in to sample everything, or do you pay for each? Like, can you get in and kind of pay for what you want to eat?
It's an all you can eat, $35. We'll also have a pint there for you, ready to go, and it allows you full access into everything.
Okay. You had me at all you can eat. Okay, so $35 gets you all you can eat gator, hog. You know, all the great Louisiana sides, and you're even going to throw in a pint of beer on that?
We're pricing in the pint of beer in that as well to get you started. While you decide where you want to start, you got to have a beer in your hand.
And so do we buy in advance or do we buy at the door?
You can buy in advance on Monday. You can buy at Parrish, Red's, Posco. You could call, or you can show up that day and we'll have plenty of room for you.
Great.
And I saw a little tease. You actually have some Louisiana entertainment that is dialed up on the Reds Facebook today. I noticed that there's like a little Louisiana like brass band that is getting all ready for the big party.
Absolutely. Yep. Moving around so we can follow them and dance.
Okay. Well, great. I tell you what, it's going to be an honor for me to be broadcasting this show live from the Louisiana Back Alley Barbecue. Again, it's happening on February the 4th at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room. Our good friends Ramiro Scavo and Travis Peters are putting their heads together, and they're bringing their A game. They are doing gator. They're doing hog. They're doing pits. They're doing everything that you would expect. And we're really looking forward to it. Anyway, Ramiro Scavo, thank you so much for everything you do down there at Pasco and at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room. Main Gate Square, a great backdrop for a great event. Can't wait to see you guys next Saturday.
See you on Saturday.
We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple more of our valued sponsors. And when we come back, she's here. She is busy shaking and stirring and sharing her gifts. Tiffany Eldridge, the master mixologist here at Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails, is here on the other side of this break. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't go away. Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I think that fall is one of the most delicious seasons of the year. So please join me in celebrating the flavors of fall at a restaurant that takes this season seriously. Commoner & Co. Start with a bruleed blue cheese tart with a ginger snap crust, or a fall harvest salad with a bounty of butternut squash, red apples, and spiced pumpkin seeds. And then warm your soul with a bowl of rigatoni bolognese with Wagyu beef, mozzarella curd, and ricotta. You'll also enjoy a number of other dishes that represent the year's harvest, as well as some fun fall cocktails that are being shaken and stirred even as I speak, like right now. And on Mondays, all season long, it's half off all bottles of wine. Fall is officially in season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cole. I'll see you there. Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics.
These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the wild mushroom and sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails in St. Phillips Plaza. My Sazerac is the level indicator on the glass is dropping at a dangerous level, Laura Reese.
It's too delicious.
This is a lovely cocktail.
I completely understand why.
And our next guest, what a great segue, because when you're thinking about the craft of mixology, when you're thinking about the intentional design and the culture and the story that goes with a beautifully built cocktail, there are so many wonderful people that tell great stories in this community, but I love our next guest because she really has kind of helped to reimagine the cocktail culture here. She's the mixologist at Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails, our good friend Tiffany Eldridge. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm so good. We're so excited to have you here, and it's very nice to see you again.
It's always nice to see you, too, and it's nice to see you just kind of sit back and relax. I mean, every time I see you, you're shaking, you're stirring. It's like an aerobic exercise watching you work.
It really is, actually.
So anyway, I love that you have called the name of this new concept Sazerac, because it speaks to the history of the cocktail that is really at the anchor of this experience. I have started the broadcast with a Sazerac past. Talk to us about the story of the Sazerac and why it was important to you and your team to really create a concept built around this cocktail.
Well, to kind of touch on what you said about it being the root of the experience here at Sazerac, it's also the root of my experience becoming a mixologist. So theories are that this was the first cocktail in existence, you know, and there's some debate about that in terms of like daiquiris and such, but it is the first cocktail created in America with the name cocktail attached to it. So naturally that's kind of where I started when I learned, when I was training. There's sort of a kind of an East Coast and West Coast sort of flair vibe to mixology.
Right.
And I definitely feel that I was trained more in an East Coast style, which I don't even know if you would go so far as to call it mixology, because it's really just going back to the origins of how to make a drink, the original way it was intended. Mixology tends to be a little bit more playful, a little bit more modern. And I say that there's different coastal flares because, well, cocktails were obviously originated on the East Coast, predominantly in the South because of New Orleans being the birthplace, but it kind of went up the East Coast from there. New York, Philadelphia are very heavy-handed in the origins of cocktails. So that's where my training comes from, is this original form, this very purist kind of pedantic way of making drinks. So we just go back to moving away from the soda gun and pre-made mixes and
thank you
juice from concentrate and things like that. Yes,
God bless you.
And when you're making a daiquiri, I bet there's not a blender anywhere nearby.
Come on,
it's criminal.
It just ruins everything.
Okay,
it ruins the ambiance too.
You have a number of different Sazeracs here on the menu. Let's talk about what is the original Sazerac made of. Back in the 1800s, when they crafted that cocktail that now is sort of there's this renaissance in the Sazerac community. Where did it start? How was it built?
So it's actually really funny because it wasn't intended to be a cocktail per se. The person who did it, he's responsible with the Peychaud's bitters, and it was really more of a medicinal something he had.
I can understand.
I use it medicinally.
I mean, I've never felt better than I do right now. Another Sazerac, please.
Well, he actually was a pharmacist.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and so these bitters were really made as an elixir to sort of, like, ease the stomach. And, you know, it's all the botanicals and herbs that kind of, you know, like when you eat fennel after a meal.
Right.
That kind of a process. Well, then he started kind of playing around with it and made a drink out of it that people were enjoying, obviously not for medicinal reasons, but for imbibing reasons. And there's even a little excerpt on the menu. He had like this little, well, we now know it to be a jigger, but it was a double-sided egg holder. And in French, it's pronounced coquetier. And so they kind of, he would measure out these pours with this, and everyone would say, what is it, a cocktail? And they couldn't pronounce it. So, I mean, that was kind of the origin of the word. Hmm. Back then, they were using something called herbsinthe, which was similar to absinthe, which is one of the main ingredients in this drink. You do a rinse of absinthe on this drink, but we couldn't get absinthe in the 1800s because it was banned.
Right, because it was from the wormwood, which was illegal. But now we found a way to legalize absinthe. I think I was the chair of that legalized absinthe campaign. I like to begin my day with an absinthe rinse, as it were.
Right. All right.
So you've got this great Sazerac past, which is anchored by cognac, that traditional way. But you also have the Sazerac present and the Sazerac future. What are the differences among the three?
Well, present is the one that we've all come to know and love. The rye, the absinthe, that's what most people are expecting when they order Sazerac. The past, which we are using cognac still because rye wasn't really around then. And the herbsinthe is the past. And the future is... according to me. I don't know that there's an official Sazerac future being made with scotch, but it is in my world because I find that a lot of scotch drinkers want to be playful and try my cocktails, but typically scotch drinkers have a very specific palate and they don't really like their alcohol mixed with things. So this was a very scotch-friendly cocktail that still showcased the scotch, but made it playful in a way that they felt like they were still, you know, at a cocktail bar enjoying.
You got to come over here and taste. I would like to do like a Sazerac flight. There's 5 Sazeracs on the menu. It would be a long night, but I'm sure you would accommodate. And some other great prohibition style, pre-prohibition style cocktails here. A list that that Tiffany Eldridge herself has curated. I want to thank you so much for everything you do, helping us to experience again this wonderful cocktail culture. And thank you for being one of the hardest working people
pleasure.
In this community. We're going to take a quick news break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're rolling up our sleeves and we're going to go straight to the cuisine in this live broadcast from Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the brand new Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails in St. Philip's Plaza here. We're getting our bayou going. And I also want to make sure that everybody knows without this, our sponsors, this show simply could not come on each and every week. I want to thank all of my beloved sponsors that help celebrate local, help us to be a voice for the local culinary and cocktail community. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, the Tucson Originals, Tucson Foodie, Tino's Pizza, Jerry's Cigars, Commoner & Co., the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, and Russell Public Communications. And Laura Reese, what a lineup that is.
That's quite a representation of awesome, awesome food stuff happening in Tucson.
Laura Reese is here. She also wants you to know that you should go to the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. Again, it's happening on February the 18th from 1 to 5. You can be a VIP and get started an hour earlier. Go to TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com. Buy your tickets before they sell out. And please use the promo code on the menu live because you'll save some money in the process.
Yeah, save a little money.
Okay, so we began this broadcast with a Sazerac, which is how I love to begin any broadcast, any culinary moment in time. I begin with a cocktail before I make my way down to the table, open up the menu, and we are getting our Creole on. And I'm a little bit nervous bringing on our next guest because, I mean, this is the real deal.
This is the real deal.
Okay. So this guy didn't, you know, come over here from Applebee's. This guy does not have Red Lobster on his curriculum vitae. This is a man who has actually brought his craft, his story, his journey from Louisiana, and it is my privilege to welcome the executive chef from Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails, the Honorable Robert Iacarino. Robert,
much.
How are you?
My pleasure.
Chef, it is my
honored.
Pleasure indeed.
God
Look,
bless.
I know that you have a full house.
Yep.
You have a very busy kitchen staff.
We've
I'm
been
so
blessed with good business.
I'm honored, and I'm blessed that you're sitting with us enjoying the show. And I know we only have
Thank you
for
very
a
much.
Few minutes, but help us understand. I mean, when I got together with Eric Musson, we're going to be talking with Eric
right.
here a little bit later on in the show. But when I got together with Eric, he told me about Robert Iacarino, and he
right.
told me about your story and your journey. I said, "There's no way you're going to get this guy. There's just no way." I mean, he's Robert Iacarino for crying out loud. And here you are now in Tucson.
Yep, full circle.
You actually spent a little bit of time down in the Big Easy.
Yes, yeah. I was born and raised there. And after I was a mature adult, I went to Europe. And I spent 18 years in Europe as a journeyman chef, cook's apprentice, and really learned essential fundamentals. And I brought those crafts back to New Orleans, where I started working for a longtime family friend, Chef Paul Prudhomme. Both my grandfathers grew up with Chef Paul. And
family friend, yeah. Paul Prudhomme, he said. So,
yeah, I spent quite a few years at K. Paul's Louisiana Kitchen and, applied my craft there. I was recruited by Chef Paul to go to Magic Seasoning Blends, where we did research and development create the seasonings that we use here at Sazerac. And we'll start doing our own house, in-house blends of seasonings and spices. So we're looking forward to that. And hopefully down the road marketing the same spices that we use here.
Oh, I can't wait.
Seasonings and some sauces that we develop here, too. I've got quite a few signature sauces that would like to work with jam culinary concepts and, incorporate those into our point-of-sale program.
Right.
That people that may not be able to come to Sazerac and purchase some of the spices and sauces and create these great dishes at home.
I love that. And, you're talking about a snapshot of the Creole culture.
Right.
Is right here at Sazerac. Now, help our listeners understand, back when you're thinking about the bayou, when you're thinking
right.
about that part of the country, a lot of people use the words Cajun and Creole synonymously.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that's not right.
That's correct.
Talk a little bit about the differences between the two.
Our food is based upon 19th century style cuisine. And, we're using modern appliances, of course. But the essential difference is basically social, at the foundation is with the society of New Orleans back in that era where the Creoles were the free people of color, and they were the top of the aristocracy, and then Caucasians, and then people that were indentured as slaves. So the Creoles had the means, the education, and the money to purchase a lot of fresh produce, fresh meats, fowls, sausages, etc., whereas the Cajuns were kind of country folk.
Right.
And had to forage for whatever they could get and put in a pot of gumbo, whether it was squirrels or, some alligator. And they just didn't have the financial means to do the similar kinds of food. The spices and everything are very synonymous, and the seasonings are, but the Creole food is much more European, Spanish, and Caribbean influence. So therefore, you've got the spices from Africa. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, so very much so.
Given the fact that you're Creole and not Cajun, you're probably not having squirrel tonight.
Exactly.
I just want to let the record reflect that there is. No, this is a squirrel-free zone at Sazerac.
This is true.
Right.
This is true.
So talk about some of the dishes. I mean, when you're thinking about, you have this blank canvas, and you're putting together this menu for the Musman brothers, very particular standards. You know, the Musmans are all about, you know, the every concept they have is all about authenticity.
Right.
It's all about giving people real experiences. So what's the one dish on the menu? I understand we're going to be doing a little tasting a little bit later on.
Absolutely.
I have a couple dishes, but what's the one dish that you think kind of represents the story of the Creole style here on the menu?
There's several. I mean, we've got one plate called The Taste of New Orleans, which has a combination of crawfish etouffee, shrimp Creole, and jambalaya.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
that in and of itself is representative of the Creole cuisine, and we've got fabulous gumbos. Right now we're running a chicken and andouille gumbo. We've got fried green tomatoes, barbecue shrimp, which is a New Orleans style of, it's not a Western style of barbecue.
Right.
It's a very complex sauteed dish of shrimp that's infused with Worcestershire sauce, lemon juice, Creole seasonings, a little bit of beer and stocks. But yeah, our whole menu is Creole influenced, and we're very proud of that.
And you're going to be doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner here, correct?
Yes, yep, that's correct. You know, we're running breakfast Monday through Friday, and we'll soon be starting a brunch on the weekends, you know, jazz brunch on Sundays specifically. And then, you know, during seasonal holidays, we'll incorporate what we call Réveillon in the Creole culture.
Oh, yes.
And that's a, you know, it's a French Creole concept of soup to nuts dining. You know, we'll have a price fix, grand meal course, and, you know, fabulous cocktails.
Fabulous cocktails.
And, you know, a way to start your meal and during and ending with fabulous aperitifs that Miss Tiffany Eldridge has put together.
Beautiful. You know, in the late 90s, I had a client in New Orleans, so I was I was privileged to actually go to New Orleans once a month for 2 years.
Great.
And there was never a time, Chef Robert, when I did not stop by the Café du Monde.
Oh, fabulous.
Because,
yeah.
Because I had to have that beignet
experience.
Now, I would imagine that Sazerac Creole kitchen and cocktails. Yeah. You gotta have a beignet.
We have beignets. That's our first ticket of every day. Stop by for. We have a.
As it should be.
Beignets and bread pudding.
Absolutely. We have chicory coffee and beignets.
Oh, yeah, you're even doing the chicory coffee.
I did not know that.
Save yourself from airfare.
We've got a local company's roasting our own
beans.
Arbuckles is providing fresh roasted coffee beans that we ground here and incorporate the chicory that they supply.
So you want to experience New Orleans-style Creole culture, cocktails, cuisine. Come to Sazerac.
No one
is going to be doing it better because Chef Robert
Iagorino
is in the house. We're going to let you go in about 30 seconds, but what do you love about Tucson so far?
Tucson, I think the people are just lovely. You know, people are very warm and welcoming and, you know, very open, and it's very refreshing.
Great.
I appreciate it very much.
Your kitchen team is screaming for you.
All right.
You're going to get back to work, which
Cheers.
Is where you belong.
Thank
Chef
you
Robert Iagorino,
much.
Thank you so much.
Come by and visit us, everybody.
And
thank
speaking
you.
Of warm and wonderful, what a great segue to one of the guys who helped make this concept possible. When you're thinking about, you know, as I said, authenticity, when you're thinking about authentic Neapolitan style pizza, you know, you go right to Vera Mori. When you're thinking about a great kind of gastropub experience with a wonderful bar burger and any number of 100 plus beers, you go to Noble Hops up in Oro Valley. And when you want to have a snapshot of the Big Easy, you obviously come to Sazerac, and here representing his family's business, helping to kind of keep the creativity alive on the culinary cocktail scene from Jam Culinary Concepts, our good friend Eric Musman. Eric, man, you got to be so thrilled with this new space.
Anytime I'm with you, I'm thrilled, man.
Yeah, it's, that's a good answer.
It's great. We love being in St. Philip's Plaza. You know, everybody knows it's one of the best locations in Tucson. Been trying to work out a deal with getting in here for a while, and finally figured out a concept and something that would go well with our good friends over at Union and Reforma, and here we are.
I love it. And I got to ask you, so, you know, it's funny because, you know, hands off the food, Laura Reese. I have to take pictures of this food. Actually, that's why Jim Wood is here, our resident photographer, jswoodphoto.com. Hire him for all of your photography needs. We would not bring him to any photographic experience, you know, were it not for his exceptional aplomb, his photography aplomb. Anyway, why Louisiana? Okay, so you've got this, you've got all of this, your creativity is off the charts. You're going to do a brand new concept in Tucson, Arizona. What is it that you love about this style of food that you said Tucson really needs to have this?
You know, we've always kind of, me and my brother, born and raised here, love it here, and we travel a lot. Go to other places, try different things. Are we under attack?
Well, what's going on? It must be the Cajuns. We're not going to let those Creole people get away with anything.
You know, we were the first people to really bring, we were the first certified pizzeria in Arizona. After trying it in Seattle and going to Italy three times,
right.
We were the first gastropub, you know, real authentic gastropub. And there's, you know, ever since the days when I was little, going to French Quarter and then Noni's later on and stuff, I always loved that type of food. And we went to Louisiana for Mardi Gras a few years ago and been back, and I just love the food. It's just a whole different thing and something that you can't really get here. Of course, at Parrish, they have some great things, but just a real authentic Creole restaurant hasn't really been around here, and if it has, it's been a long time.
And I'm glad you decided to come here, because this space, I've always loved the layout of this of the dining room. I love the place that the bar occupies. I love hanging out here al fresco, where we're against the backdrop of real fire. And this is just a great space to be. St. Phillips Plaza, I mean, what can you say?
It's great, you know. It's just one of those locations. You're close to campus, close to the foothills. Beautiful plaza. They've, you know, really done a nice job here, and we couldn't be happier.
So you guys have just been open just a few days.
Yeah, second weekend. It's been going good.
Yeah.
Other than, you know,
a little bit of a misstep, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Hashtag thanks, Josh.
Yeah.
How's your brother doing, by the way?
He's doing good. Thank you so much. Got out of the hospital, and he's, you know, he'll be walking again in 4 or 5 months. So.
Oh my goodness.
Long process, 3 surgeries so far, but
I understand he's in very good hands.
He is. He's probably listening at home. So hi, Josh.
We love you, and we are going to actually be tasting some of this great cuisine here in a minute. But I want to get Tiffany back on here. Put your microphone down a little bit. When people talk about beer pairings, they talk about wine pairings. Is there a role for a cocktail as to help kind of evolve a culinary experience here at Sazerac?
Absolutely. Absolutely, which is what makes the Sazerac so genius. It's so aromatic. That's where the herbsan or the absinthe comes into play, and then the lemon twist. You know, the cocktails are very, very simple and clean, minimalistic ingredients, and so they can really elevate the food from... You know, it's almost like the salt and pepper. Like, it just helps with the bouquet of everything and kind of almost a palate cleanse, too. Not just Sazeracs, but lots of the cocktails. I use a lot of things like botanical gins and things like Amaros, digestives, which are actually, as we mentioned earlier, kind of a medicinal purpose of settling your stomach. So a lot of these cocktails are created with the idea in mind that they're either appetite-enhancing and or... digestive aiding.
Absolutely.
A nice way to say that.
And you mentioned, you know, that New Orleans was the birthplace of the Sazerac, mm-hmm. as well as kind of the cocktail movement in all of the United States. And then this is the food they were eating when they were coming up with those cocktails. Yeah. So it totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of the same ingredients are used. You know, the herb scent that goes in the past that you're drinking is also in our oysters.
Oh.
One of the oysters we do Sazerac oysters, and
oh, how
sauce
cool.
has it. But herbsan was used in cooking all the time. You know, fennel, things like that. They're very similar flavor profiles.
Now, you talked about digestive aiding. I want to aid my digestion, and
yes.
I can't take it anymore. I need to eat.
Yes.
So you have
finally
brought out for
doing
some,
it.
We get some flatware over here. Eric Musman, you brought out kind of a survey for us to try to take our palates on a tour of Creole country. Where should we begin the tasting today?
Absolutely. Wherever you want. We have the fried green tomatoes there.
I was hoping you would say that.
That is the sauce on there. is a magnolia sauce. It's actually my chef's private sauce he developed himself.
He has a private sauce.
His private sauce.
It's a <So-ra-sha>.
Signature, I guess.
But this is a public show.
Yes.
And it's a family show, too.
Yes.
Before we go any further.
His signature sauce on that. And, you know, he didn't really talk himself up as much as he should, but he's absolutely amazing. We couldn't do what we do without him. The beignets there, everything is completely authentic. His gumbo recipe was actually traded to George Foster, the man who invented Bananas Foster, for the recipe for Bananas Foster. So ours are the real deal. You can't get more authentic,
you have to
more
be
original
kidding.
Bananas Foster than
from
ours.
From the Foster family.
From the Foster family
he
themselves.
He keeps it under lock and key.
He does.
With his private sauce.
With his private signature sauce.
No, but this is like, it's sweet, it's tangy.
There's a caramely.
It's toasted almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's
and
so
you think
good.
Of fried green tomatoes, you're thinking, you know, everybody has this idea of what that is, but you're bringing some shrimp in here.
Mm-hmm.
It plates up beautifully. They're almost like beefsteak tomatoes. They're really cut thick. Just a lovely coating on there, but not too much. But that caramely, toasty sauce
is smoky.
Really doing a beautiful job on my palate. Now, we're going to finish our tasting in a minute, but the time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to get a shot at getting a Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails gift card. Have you guys thought about what would be a kind of a fun question to ask our listeners today?
Tiffany?
Oh, boy.
Here it comes. It can be anything. It can be whatever you want. Nothing too difficult, you know. Nothing too easy. Here, hit it.
Oh, I was going to say if they remember where the word cocktail derived from, if they were listening.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, great. Where did the word cocktail derive from? What is the origination of the word cocktail? That's a great question. If you think you know the answer, send it to me an email right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to change it up a little bit. Normally, we take the first person with the right answer. Now, we're going to let you guess all the way up until 6 o'clock. And if there's more than one right answer, we're going to do a random drawing. But everybody get on their mobile devices right now. Please pull over to the side of the road. We don't want to do this and drive at the same time. Where did the word cocktail originate? onthemenulive@gmail.com. We're going to take another quick commercial break. Thanks some more sponsors. Come back, finish our tasting journey, and then we're talking Mardi Gras because that's just right around the corner. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Tucson, are you finding it tough to get rid of those extra holiday pounds that you put on? Maybe you've noticed a little too much wiggle in your walk. Well, there's no better time of year than right now to get up, get moving, and get over to personal trainer Nancy Russell, the official trainer for On the Menu Live. Certified by the American Council on Exercise, the nation's predominant personal training authority, Nancy works with every age group at every fitness level to customize a plan to meet your personal goals, whether it's building strength, balance, endurance, toning and definition, or just overall well-being. Call Nancy Russell today to find out how you can get a personal training session absolutely free. Call 237-9160. That's 237-9160. Your first step towards a new you now.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. My Sazerac is gone. I'm making my way through these fried tomatoes, Laura Reese, having a great time. She's already lost her headset. She's so excited. Now I'm going to try the gumbo now. I have a fresh fork going in. Now I love, you can automatically tell right away that the depth of that experience, the roux is such an important part of the gumbo, Eric Mossman, and the roux is nothing that you
don't
rush.
Burn the roux.
The roux is nothing that you have to be completely dedicated to that process so you don't ruin the roux.
Absolutely, yeah, and there's actually a bunch of different kinds of roux. Mm. You know, you do them really slowly, and colors are different. You know, you can do a darker, you can do a black roux, you can do a caramel colored roux, you can do all these different ones that are all used for different types of gumbo and different kinds of dishes that we do.
Oh, beautiful. My gosh, shut the door. This is so good.
Seriously. We tried the fried tomatoes. We tried the gumbo. We're going to do a little bit more tasting here. But Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras.
Coming up.
What a great time for you guys to open this concept because St. Philip's Plaza is going to be the place to be for Mardi Gras season, right?
Absolutely.
What's going on?
We're really trying to go big. We're partnering up with all our neighbors here, Reforma, Union, Revolve Cycling, you know, everything over here in our little plaza, and we're just going to go all out. Big brass band. We're actually doing a thing that Chef Robert told us about they do in Louisiana, where they go to local high schools, and their high school jazz bands come out.
I love that.
They're marching bands. Yeah, I'm sorry. Their marching bands come out and perform, and people donate money, and the money goes to the schools. So little cool thing that we're going to do here,
how
bring
neat.
It over from Louisiana, and that's going to be going on.
So it's not just about the authenticity of the cocktail. It's not all about the tradition of the cuisine, but it's the way they do things in New Orleans when they're going to the local high school to find talent for parties. You're going to do the same thing right here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, can we go to the Catalina Foothills High School Band?
We already hit them up.
You did!
They'll be here. They will be here.
All right, well, you're not kidding.
No, they'll be here.
You're a proud alum.
I am.
Of Foothills
Absolutely.
High School, as
Absolutely.
Is my son, and as will be my daughter in 4 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, 14 hours, and 16 seconds.
But who's counting?
But who's counting?
Who's counting?
So, do now people need to, what's sort of the atmosphere going to be like here at Mardi Gras? I mean, are you going to have different stations, different booths? You come here for dinner and then kind of get out and do a little dancing.
Oh yeah, we're gonna go all out. We're gonna have brass band on top of our other bands. We're gonna have people up on the second floor throwing beads off. It's gonna be a party.
I love
How
that.
How fun!
Does that
yeah,
sound like off the hook?
That's awesome. And so it's at a similar question. Is it going to be like a ticket price to get in to enjoy everything in the patio? Or is it like just open to
It'll
everyone?
Be open to the public,
cool.
free drinks and everything like that. It'll obviously be a charge.
Right.
And, but other than that, yeah, come on down. Have a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's all happening now. Is that actually on Fat Tuesday itself?
It's going to be – we're still discussing the details, but it'll definitely be on Fat Tuesday, possibly the week up to
– the
few days
prior.
Up to
right.
weekend prior, things
right.
like that. Yeah,
right
so – it's going to be good.
This is the place to be.
It'll be the place to be.
We're
going to
end with the beignets because
yeah.
that's sometimes I like to begin with the beignets.
Oh, wait. You're going to get one? I'm not eating all of them?
Buy your
oh.
own show, Laura.
Oh,
buy
I'm
your
sorry.
Own show.
I'm sorry.
What do we got over here, man?
That's a jambalaya.
There it is. Two
you know,
healthy scoops. And you actually, you scoop your jambalaya here.
We do.
Talk
yeah.
about the, talk about the integrity sausage. and the texture of a jambalaya. Really, unlike a gumbo that needs a bowl, the jambalaya has this wonderful kind of texture to it that allows it to stand on its own.
It does. And I actually helped make that. I've been training back there. You know, a big part of it is the Trinity, which is onions, celery, and bell peppers.
That's right. The mirepoix.
It
yeah.
really
mirepoix.
Is. And, you know, that, you know, you cook it down, you get some really good flavors out of that. Tomatoes that we, you know, put in there. It's just an amazing dish with all the juices from the andouille sausage and the chicken all in there, Creole it, seasonings.
It's surprisingly light. Like it's meaty, it's hearty, it's got the sausage, it has the vegetables, but the rice isn't dense or heavy. It actually has a light texture. It's great.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, yeah. We really try to balance it. And a lot of people wonder, you know, they come in and they say, oh, I don't really like spicy and stuff like that. And, it, you know, this food isn't typically really that spicy. It's just seasoned. It's, you know.
Big difference,
you
right.
You can make it, you
it's
can make it as spicy as you want. But, yeah, it doesn't have to be spicy.
Yeah, the andouille is just a little bit of a kiss. Just a little spice on the back end.
Yeah.
Nothing overwhelming because that's what you love. Again, that is that tradition, of the Creole experience. Which brings us, talking about tradition, to the beignet. And look at this. There's a beignet on the plate, and there's one sip of Sazerac in my glass, Tiffany Eldridge.
It was fake.
Did you plan it this way?
I did.
All right, I'm actually going to do a little bit of a rinse. And now I'm going in. Now, is there a protocol for the beignet?
If you don't get messy, you're doing it wrong.
If I don't get okay. messy, I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going in, Laura.
My life motto. Okay.
Just kidding. Okay. Now, is there a traditional toast or a, we're toasting
I mean,
with dessert.
We could start one.
Let's
yeah.
do it. What should be the greeting to welcome us all together, raising fried dough to the heavens?
It's America
first. So what do we say to this beignet, Laura Reese?
May your dough always be powdered sugared.
I love that.
Absolutely.
May your dough.
Know,
all right, we're going.
Beautifully said.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder you hired this guy.
No, he's amazing.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Just the beautiful crispness on the texture, on the exterior
and, like,
and
the
outside.
And the air pocket. Look at
air.
How light it is on the inside.
Pillowy. It has this wonderful,
oh
almost
my
buoyancy
gosh.
To it.
Right.
With the shower of the powdered sugar on the top. This you don't need anything with this.
Oh, it's great. And, I got to give a quick shout-out to our pastry chef, Kim Fimbers, who actually comes in here at night. She makes the dough for those, makes our bread, all of our stuff. We're making it at night so we can cook during the day.
That's what they do.
That is so
our midnight baker.
And we are making it all. The baguettes and everything, we're making those in-house.
Yeah,
yeah
everything.
Wow, really?
Everything. Everything.
None of this par-baked stuff
no.
that you finish here.
Nope.
I love that.
She's a She's a mystery midnight baker. We lock up, and the next morning we unlock, and there's bread.
Yeah.
So what's the perfect food and beverage pairing, according to Tiffany Eldridge here on the Sazerac menu? Are you thinking wine, beer, Sazerac?
That's a great
You're thinking,
question.
Of course, all everything
no,
on the menu.
It's not.
If I want to be Tiffany Eldridge for a night,
oh no, that's like
what am I drinking? What am I eating?
Oh no, that's like asking me to choose which child I like most. Okay.
What is a
You know
favorite?
What? You need to go. Okay. You know what? I do have an answer to this, because if you're coming in for the first time, you need to just go completely classic across the board and get like the most authentic, genuine experience. So you need to get a Sazerac, possibly past or present.
Yep.
Coin toss, and taste of New Orleans, and finish with beignets.
There it is.
And then chicory coffee, of course.
There it is. Tiffany Eldridge, thank you so much for helping to libate us all with love and with intention. Eric Musselman from Jam Concepts, Noble Hops, Vero Amore, Sazerac, Creole Kitchen of Cocktails. I love your family, and I can't wait to see what's next for you guys.
Thank you. We love you, too.
Laura Reese, so much fun.
So much fun.
TucsonCraftBeerCrawl.com. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's on the menu live. Cheers. We'll see you at Saturday.
Woo-hoo.